Hello and welcome to Inbox, your Q&A bite-sized podcast to your kind of little side dish alongside swapping joysticks.
Do you want to start that again?
No, go for it.
Okay.
Why?
Just a bit of a stumble, that's fine.
Stumble, we do one take. We don't do editing. Yes, I am your host, Ben Ostwick, otherwise known as Biggest Benis, and I'm joined, as always, by...
Ed Knight. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I wasn't going to introduce you this time.
Just a nod.
You don't deserve it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Just nod at me and go, yeah, say your name, bitch.
Exactly, yeah, that's it. I mean, it's either that or say my name.
Let's not go there.
No, I mean, it went downhill last time, I think, quite quickly. So we should go straight in. But there, this is a little bite-sized podcast where we go and answer your questions. If you want to submit your own questions, just go to swappingjoysticks.com/inbox, just like Liz did.
Oh, and what did Liz have to ask?
Liz asks, what is the best game for non-gamers, in your opinion?
Interesting. So, introducing someone to gaming for the first time, I guess you want something simple, something with simple controls, something that's easy to understand. In general, Nintendo games are good. And I think the obvious answer... for this community and for you as well, I think would be Animal Crossing,
yep.
Just because it is a game that doesn't have time limits. Well, it does have time limits, I guess, but it doesn't have, you know, fast-paced action. You just live your life and just do everything at your own pace, which is nice.
I think the biggest stumbling block for people who've never played a video game before is the controller.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Animal Crossing, there's very little you need to kind of, like, have top skill of controls with.
Saying that, though, we jumped into Animal Crossing at the weekend, or at least I did, for the first time in a long time. No idea what the controls were. Absolutely no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Like, trying to get different, emotes, or trying to get your different items out. I was like, what are the controls? Could not remember at all.
But I think when you're new, you get given them very slowly, and it explains it.
Yeah, and you're obviously not going to, you know, your character's not going to die if you don't hit the right buttons. So I think Animal Crossing is a good one.
I'm going to give you a completely different answer.
Oh, well, I'd also throw out Mario Kart.
Yeah?
Just because that is the kind of game that is... I mean, the controls for that are pretty easy. It's just go and steer, really.
And you don't even... And you can, to be honest, you can put assists on that will help you with both of those.
Exactly. The weapons or items do help with balancing a bit. But the main reason is just the fact that everybody owns Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to get into games for the first time, the best way to do that is probably to play with other people rather than just sitting on your own.
Yeah.
Play with other people and have fun. And even if you're rubbish at it, you're still there having fun with other people. And I just think Mario Kart is the obvious choice for a sort of party game that is easy to get into.
And you've got all those assists, but also if you don't want to potentially like play with people right away, they've also got the various cups you can do, and you can set them at, you know, 50cc if you want to just take it really slowly and kind of just learn the controls at your own pace.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to give you a completely different answer.
Please do, Ben.
Because one of my colleagues at work came up to me a few weeks ago and was like, because I'm obviously the game person in charge of gaming, so whenever anybody's got any questions about gaming, they come to me. Including one girl who came over was like, have you got access to Tears of the Kingdom yet? I was like, no, definitely not. In fact, I'm probably going to get it like later on the day it's released because I've got the physical one booked to order. But no, one of my colleagues came up to me and was like, I'm thinking of getting a PlayStation because me and my husband are watching The Last of Us and we love it. So that has helped. And I don't know if she ended up getting a PlayStation or not, but or a PS5, but like that actually got her into you know, trying something out like that. And that is also another game with lots and lots and lots of assists. It's got accessibility features for pretty much anybody to be able to play that. You could play that game, I think, if you are completely blind. And yeah, so I think those kind of games, the accessibility features, if you're not able to make use of all the controls, but also, yeah, you can scale it and, you know, control it at your own pace. So I think that's something cinematic like that would grab you.
You make a good point with the assist, because when you first said that, I thought, oh no, that's a far too difficult game to play for a first timer, because there's a lot of action, there's a lot of stealth, there's a lot of different things to think about in that game, and like item management, resource management. It's quite complex as a first game, but you do make a good point. I think a lot of people who don't play games probably watch films or TV. And if they see something that they can then relate to with gaming, like The Last of Us, if they've seen the TV show and think, oh, I want to give the game a go, then maybe that is a good gateway into that. And the fact that there are so many assists
does make it easier. Do they have co-pilot mode?
I don't think there's co-pilot.
What games have co-pilot? Because I bet that would be...
I think especially Horizon if one person does.
It'd be interesting if one person in your family is a gamer and the other one isn't, but the other one wants to play it and the other person can kind of do the complicated stuff.
Or even just like a good co-op
game. If that works.
I mean, even something like...
It Takes Two.
I mean, I'm going back to Nintendo again, but going back to like the Mario games, like Mario 3D World or one of those, which you can play in multiplayer, that might be fun.
And I mean, to be honest, there's also the games that people who claim they're not gamers play, or which some gatekeepers might say are not real games, you know, like Candy Crush or...
Oh, play games on your phone. Play
Tetris.
Yeah,
there's so many.
There's nothing simpler than Tetris.
Yeah. Marvel Snap. Marvel Snap is a great way to get into it. I mean, I'm not even a Marvel fan and I'm obsessed. In fact, I'm already waiting for the next week's challenges.
Is that a gateway into Marvel for you?
No, but it's teaching me about the different people. Like Black Widow and...
Who's Black Widow, Ben?
I have no idea, but she's got a widow's bite. I don't know if that's a type of overhang.
No, it's
not. I don't know.
It's not an overbite.
Okay, yeah. I thought, okay. I don't know who she is.
Okay. Well, is she's, she's one of the Avengers.
Is she?
She's Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, she's very pretty.
She is.
And I know...
See, if I tell you the actor name, then you'll be like, oh, it's that
Hobgoblin?
One.
Who's Hobgoblin?
That is a Spider-Man villain, I believe.
Okay, well. And I like Spider-Man, but I have no idea. That's the Green Goblin.
Yeah, but I think Hobgoblin is an alternate Green Goblin? I might be completely wrong. Some inbox us. Tell us if we're wrong.
Well, actually, I think you might be right, because I think Green Goblin is -3 and Hobgoblin is -8. So I'm thinking maybe it's like an evolved version of Green Goblin.
That's what I think it might be. Yeah. I mean, I'm joking at you about Marvel. I know nothing about comics and Marvel, apart from what I've seen in the films. Yeah. So
we need to go and see Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
No, we don't.
Don't we?
No.
Oh, I love it.
I've got no interest in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I just... Let's not turn this inbox into we hate Marvel.
No, I don't. I like Spider-Man and I like Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
You see, I don't like Guardians of the Galaxy because for me, it's just a rip of Star Wars. And it's just like there's a lot of parallels in terms of the characters and who's who.
Who's Star-Lord?
Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
But also like very Han Solo-y. And then you've got Groot as his sort of Chewbacca and the raccoon as a Han Solo type character as well.
Who's R2-D2?
Look, it's not that direct, right?
I think
it's
just
generally, it's
just a hater.
Kind of Star Wars-y and it's just...
It's got great 80s music.
It does have a good soundtrack. I'm not one for like bathos's humor. Like it's let's do something
serious.
Bathos. It's where you have something really serious and then you undercut it with something stupid to like make fun of it. And it's like, to me, that's just not clever humor. And all of Marvel is full of that. It's like, for instance, you see the shot of like the Avengers.
A few viewers here.
Sorry.
Listeners, sorry.
Like when you see the Avengers and like the camera pans around them and they're all posing and then like Hulk will just punch someone out of nowhere. And it's like, it's just silly. And I don't find it funny. I don't find it clever.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
See, that's my kind of thing.
But if you want a gateway to gaming, go play the Guardians of the Galaxy game because
that's really
actually brilliant. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I just don't like the films. That's all.
Well, you can't be perfect.
Wow.
Next. Okay. So the next one, we've got another one from Liz.
Oh, we've got a double Liz today.
We've got a double Liz.
Wow.
A Liz. I imagine it's the same Liz. Could be a different Liz. Who says, what are the gayest games?
The gayest games.
Yeah, and I was thinking when I saw that question, I'm like, is this a game with really gay characters or is it games with a gay community? Because obviously there's some that are very, very popular with the LGBT community and then there's some that are kind of better at representation in there.
Or a game that is a slay-ass queen.
No,
in which case
you say, don't ever do that again.
You're welcome.
You make my dick shrivel inside me.
Wow. For that, I'd genuinely say something like Bayonetta because it's just so campy and over the top and it's not gay in the slightest. But the gays love it because it's so over the top.
I hate that, see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know I think, you'd hate that, but like, I think camp, that is one answer to the question.
Think camp gays like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Bayonetta is great.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at what kind of gays kind of react to that type of stuff. Because to me, it's cringe, and I find over sexualized women not really something that is kind of massively appealing to me. But I know it is to LGBT, a lot of people.
Listen, Bayonetta 3 has an opera boss that is peak camp, and I love it. It's incredible.
I mean, I like music in a game. But to me, like, a gay game will be one with really hot men in it.
Wow.
I don't care about sassy women.
So who's your hot man then that you want to see in half naked in a game?
Oh, that is a good question. In a game?
Yes.
Oh,
this is a gaming podcast. So yeah. Yes.
I'm trying to think of, like, yeah, if get like a mod for somebody naked. I mean, probably Nathan Drake.
I'm sure there's a topless Drake somewhere.
Mm. Or I mean, PC. There's also, I mean, yeah, Resident Evil with, you know, Carlos and
Leon
or Chris.
Well, I'm also going to throw out a game that has good representation. Sorry. And for that, I am going to say Eichenfell, or Eichenfell. I can never remember how to pronounce it, which is a really, really amazing indie game that I really love, and I just want everyone to go and play it, because if you haven't played it, you really should go and play it. It is set in a magical school, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but in a good way, and it's sort of 16-bit style pixel art top-down RPG, and you play as this little group of witches and wizards who have to go around the school, which is like a big castle, killing bosses, solving puzzles as you would in an RPG. But pretty much every single character in the game, or at least the heroes, are part of the LGBT plus community in some way. They all have a mixture of different pronouns used, like neo pronouns and other pronouns. So it just has really good representation. But what's great is that that isn't part of any of their characters. So it's not like, oh, this character's gay and therefore they must have this kind of storyline, or, oh, this character is trans and therefore they have to have this traumatic past or whatever. It's like, no, they're just queer characters. And then they go on this amazing adventure. So it's just really normalizing, like, you know, the existence of queer people, which I really like. And it just happens to be in the setting of a magical school. Mm. So it's obviously just, you know, a nice little middle finger to She Who Shall Not Be Named.
Is it on Game Pass?
I think it might have been.
Oh,
if not, it is a few years old now, so it's probably on offer somewhere. I played it on Switch. I'm pretty sure it's on Steam. I'm not sure where else it is.
And Witchbrook's coming out fairly soon. Well, not fairly. Is it this year? Witchbrook, the Chucklefish game.
I think it's meant to be this year, but it's a little way off.
Yeah, okay. That will probably be that as well. But like ones with really good LGBT communities, I mean, if you're into kind of streaming and watching people on Twitch, if you listen to this, then you probably do. Obviously, there's Dead by Daylight. There's a big LGBT community. There are some toxic straight people on there, according to Twitter. I've seen a fair few clips. But I mean, honestly, one of the best is Final Fantasy XIV. So when I first got into the game, it was when Heaven's Ward was first released years and years and years and years ago. And I loved it because everybody was so friendly. But I wasn't out. I didn't say anything. And I was invited to this free company, which is their version of a guild or a clan. And literally found out after quite a few months that apparently the clan was like mainly for trans people and like members of the LGBT community. And it was run by trans people. Yeah, I mean, maybe they had talked about it privately with each other and stuff, but it was never like something that came up in the free company chat. But it was just like, oh yeah, like it's just a really accepting place where everybody, you know, can be who they want. And so many LGBT people we know love and play that game.
So why do I keep getting paired with assholes doing duties?
I mean, if you're the one.
I'm not the asshole.
Maybe you are.
No. I'm just, you know, enjoying my life as a healer, and then some horrible tank comes in and just ruins it.
I think you need to switch to become a DPS.
No, I'm just going to do it on duty support.
Yeah.
And just play the whole thing as a single player game.
Oh, well, that is a pity, because there are some. And there are also a lot of really good LGBT guilds on there, or free companies on there.
There are.
I think there are more of those than there are non-LGBT. I think pretty much every FC is like, what part of the LGBTQ community are you? Pick a letter, find an FC, or 10.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that's great that people can find community in that game.
There are. And I think games that do have, yeah, guilds and clans like that, they often kind of gravitate towards kind of identities and creating safe spaces for people. So look for those kind of games. Even WoW, I'm sure, has some great ones.
Somewhere,
yeah. Okay, final question is from Helios.
Ooh.
Yes. And he says, what good game from your childhood do you think doesn't hold up? So what game that was good in your childhood doesn't hold up anymore?
All of them?
Yeah, I think most of them.
I mean, you hate retro games, so...
Well, you say that, and I've just finished Final Fantasy 1. So I hate PS... I hate the era of... Like, the early era of 3D games.
I was literally thinking the same thing.
They're just so ugly. And like, there's Zelda, you know, Link to the Past and games like that that you could literally play today and have no problem and not like want to kind of crush your eyes because it's just so ugly and have an issue with frame rate and things like that, which maybe it did, but it didn't affect the game that much. Whereas I think when, yeah, just poly, like games with really low polygon counts, kind of PS1, maybe even PS2 era, they just don't look good these days. And it's just a style, I think.
That's the thing. I think, you know, games before that era were all pixels and sprites, which were clear and, you know, decent frame rates, all that kind of stuff. So I think those pixel games still hold up well. And there are a lot of indie games that mimic that style and do it very well. I think when you get to, yeah, the sort of PS1, N64 era, it's a lot of early 3D. Now, there are some games that still hold up very well in that time or from that time. So for me, like even something like Super Mario 64, it's the first 3D Mario game. But when Nintendo made that, they spent so long perfecting the controls that even now Mario still feels great in that game to control. The camera's a bit off. But actually Mario playing through that game is great. And the graphics are simple, but they're still clear enough that you can play it. But if you then contrast that with, say, Donkey Kong 64 that came a few years later, they then were really trying to push the N64. It needed an expansion pack in the front to help with it because the graphics were so much better and so much more detailed and the worlds were so much bigger. But the problem is then because of that, the frame rate absolutely tanks.
Yeah.
And that to me is more of a problem than like simple 3D graphics.
Mm.
As long as they're clear and it's playable, I can totally appreciate that's a game of its time and I can play it with that hat on.
Yeah.
But as soon as the frame rate tanks like it does on Donkey Kong 64, you're like, how did I ever play this as a kid?
Mm.
Like, I loved that game as a kid. I actually didn't even finish it because, well, it has its problems and I never finished it. But it's just a complete collectathon. But at the time, I remember thinking, wow, this game is you know really beautiful. And I think if you look at it now, the frame rate is so bad that it makes it unplayable.
Jeez.
So for me, it's like that specific era. I think once you hit like PS2 era, the graphics or the consoles were just that little bit more powerful that the frame rate doesn't tank as much. I think now we've got to a place with modern consoles where frame rate is very much, it must be 60.
Yep.
But I think that's also because the levels are so much more detailed that you can't appreciate that unless the frame rate's higher.
Yeah, so that's like we said, like people go 4K 30 or, you know, 1080p 60. And I'm like, if I'm playing it at 30 FPS, then I'm not going to be able to see like the quality when my camera's moving around, like that it's 4K. But like going back to what you're saying, it's weird how, yeah, PS2, maybe even PS3, but like even good PS3 and PS4 games now are getting remastered. Because when it comes to something that's like 3D, you want it to be like the best looking thing. You want it to be this hyper realistic stuff. Whereas games that are kind of released on SNES or, you know, those that era, they don't necessarily need a graphical update. They just need a quality of life update, which is like with these pixel remasters. Like I've been looking at like what it looked like on the original NES version of Final Fantasy. And yeah, obviously it looks quite different, especially like the battle scenes. But the actual landscape and the places there don't at all. And thinking about games on the PS1, some one I was thinking of was Final Fantasy VII and how that actually looked. Don't worry, I'm not going to say anything bad.
The way I'm looking at him right now.
No, but like I think that is a good example of a game that does hold up well because it's mainly kind of just really nicely painted background, well, maybe not painted, but like nicely created backgrounds with an ugly little polygon character that runs around, but you can kind of understand what that character's representing. If it was a place with about 20 of those ugly polygons and then these houses and stuff, it wouldn't look good at all.
I mean, there are parts of that game that are mainly polygons and do look terrible.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever played Fort Condor.
No.
So it's like a sort of tower defense game within Final Fantasy VII. That looks awful because it is. There's loads of polygons going around and it looks really, really bad. But you're right, the PS1, they decided that mix of 2D backdrops and 3D characters.
Yeah.
And that, I think, does still look decent and it's playable, even if it's, yes, very triangular, polygonal characters. But at least they're clear and so you know where you are.
Things like
that game for me still absolutely holds up. Even, you know, yes, we've got 7 remake, but which of course looks 10 times better, but the original still holds up and is very playable.
One I remember that doesn't hold up well when I played in it was terrible, GoldenEye.
I mean, yeah.
Like, shooters are really bad at holding up nowadays because now we're so used to like dual stick and left trigger for aiming and right trigger for shooting.
But for me, that's a control thing. It's not a graphical thing.
Yeah.
Because I think we're used to twin stick controls now.
Yeah, because we were playing Halo, like the Halo Remaster Connect collection, and going back to the old, because there's a button you can press and you can get old graphics or current ones. And like you look at the old graphics, you're like, obviously it's a much higher frame rate, so that's probably affects it a lot, but it didn't look too bad.
No.
It was fine.
It's a control thing for those shooters.
So I think that's right, actually. Controls are the big one.
Yeah.
The ones
I can
don't
deal with bad graphics because I can appreciate, okay, at the time, that's what that was. But it's, I think controllers have improved so much in terms of like the responsiveness of the stick and the smoothness of those.
Yeah.
And again, when you go back to that PS1 N64 era, they were the first controllers with control sticks.
Mm.
The N64, I believe, was the first one. It was good at first, but there's a lot of improvement that has been done since.
Yeah.
And that for me is where they cock up is not having smooth controls.
But yeah, just to finish though, it's not like if we're not thinking of graphics or of controls and you're thinking of like actually the game, definitely like kind of grind-a-thon games like old Final Fantasies. But like my favorite game ever is testing you here.
Grim Fandango.
And those kind of games you would never release. If I released it now, I'd play a bit of it and go, this is awful. Like, what kind of puzzle mechanics are these? Because there were a lot of like, it was kind of the equivalent of a point and click, but some of it just like, I don't understand how this is work. How was I meant to know that I needed to put this in this and then give it to this guy? Like, it makes no sense whatsoever. So that kind of, although maybe if I played it right now, I'd be like, oh yeah, actually it does make sense. Maybe I was just a bit thick when I played it as a kid, but I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised.
How dare you? No, but I think like some of them don't make sense. I read an article, I think Game Edge had an article once and like commented about one that was really, it was like you had to get the right ticket number on your stub for the dog tracks. And I'm like, well, how the hell do you know what number to press on there? And yeah, so there are some quite kind of like obscure solutions to puzzles that I don't think would work nowadays. But yeah, in Grim Fandango, if you've got a guide with you or you can remember it from your youth, then you're going to be fine.
The other thing as well that means a game won't hold up is going to be something like representation and you know, a story that's dated. And
Persona 3, Ed, is that what you're going to say? Persona 4. Yeah.
I wasn't going to say that, but that is that's not a game from my childhood, so that doesn't answer the question. And my other example is also not a game from my childhood because I haven't played it. But thinking
is it a Russian game?
No. Thinking of the Resident Evil games.
We've had
remakes of 1, 2, 3 and now 4, but between that they skipped Code Veronica. Now I'd love to see a remake of Code Veronica because I've never played it and it's on PS Plus and at some point I probably will go and play it. I'd love to see a remake of that, but one thing they will need to change or might struggle to change, and therefore maybe that's why they haven't done it, is, and this is somewhat of a spoiler, there is having not played it, I still know this. There is basically a sort of semi-trans storyline. So there's a there are these two twins, and I'm probably gonna get this wrong because, like I said, I haven't played it, but I think there's two twins, and it turns out that actually it's one person, but it's the brother who has been dressing up as his sister the whole time.
I used to know somebody that did that on a forum that I used to run, except it was obviously not, he didn't dress up, he just used to log into another person's account and claim it was his sister.
Oh.
Very weird.
So it's, and it's obviously seen as this weird, like, why would you do that? Why would you be a man dressing up as a woman? Oh. And there's this really famous quote where Jill turns around, not Jill, Claire, turns around and says, like, calls him a cross-dressing freak.
Mm.
And it's this one quote that everyone always is like, wow, like,
yeah,
that would not stand today. So it does come across as very transphobic. And I think if that game were to be remade now, they would have to... Well, I don't know.
Yeah, they would definitely. Played
it, but they'd have to find a way of changing that story somehow, yeah, because I don't think it would fly. So
that's good. Not with a part of a remaster, I think remastering the actual story is a good idea.
Yeah. So that's not a game from our childhood that doesn't stand up. But I think that's an example of a game, of an old game that doesn't have good representation, that when, you know, doesn't stand up now for a different reason.
Yeah.
As opposed to just controls or graphics.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much to Liz and Helios for submitting. If anybody else, for submitting your questions.
Submitting you can also, to... You can also submit to us if you'd like to.
Yeah, so if you go to swappingjoysticks.com/inbox, that's swappingjoysticks.com/inbox. Thank you to Amani Dusta for getting that link to the Google form that we've got. You can just, it's just a very quick form. You can pop your name on it if you'd want to. You don't have to. And then just a place for you to leave a question. And with that, that just helps us kind of organize it and have a place where all the questions are there. But yeah, so thanks very much for watching. I'm Biggest Benish. You can find me, just go to biggestbenish.com and it just gives a link to all my socials at the top. Ed, what about you? Where can we find you?
You can find me at Ed_Knights on Twitch and on Twitter.
And we'll be back on Thursday, a little bit earlier on Thursday, with the latest episode of Swapping Joysticks. And I'm going to go and have a look around and make them all, make all the numbers right and stuff, and get rid of the ones that are kind of like award shows or whatever, and just to try and make out and work out exactly when episode 100 is, because we're going to do a little special for that, I think.
Ooh.
Somebody suggest me a podcast studio on a narrow boat.
Interesting thought.
Interesting, yeah. But also looked very ugly. So I was like, I'm not sure.
Impractical.
Seems to work for them, but it could be interesting.
Mm.
I don't know. In little Italy. Little Italy. I can't even say that.
Little Italy.
Yes. All right. Well, check us out. SwappingJoysticks.com for all your joystick swapping needs. And we'll see you when we see you.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.